This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're answering your questions. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. Questions can come to us via radio program at AOL.com. And what's our next question, Layla?
We've got an email from Marie. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, thank you for your great podcasts. I've learned so much listening to them. I'm a 61-year-old female in good general health. I'm not taking any prescription drugs. I have difficulty swallowing pills, and I'm looking for recommendations of a good multi that's either chewable or liquid. I'm currently taking one, but it contains 5 milligrams of iron. She's 61, remember. Mm-hmm. I've heard you say that past menopause, a woman should not be taking any iron supplements. She also takes a probiotic, a fish oil, a vitamin D. Marie, how are you swallowing your probiotic and your fish oil and your vitamin D, I wonder, and CoQ10? Generally, I do like AlphaBase, the capsule form. Marie, what you could do is you can open it up and put it into a beverage.
But it won't taste very good.
Or it won't taste very good. You could mix it in a little unsweetened applesauce or something like that. Or if you're having a little bit of yogurt or kefir, whether it's dairy or whether it's coconut or something like that. So you could do it that way. I like AlphaBase. I like that formula because it doesn't contain the iron. Because iron isn't meant for everybody across the lifespan. And especially for postmenopausal women and for men. Iron can accumulate in the body and feed infection, number one. Number two, can become toxic to the heart if it really, really accumulates.
To give you an idea of the iron content of, that she's talking about, 5 milligrams per day, is a steak, 100 milligram steak. Well, 100 milligram steak would be like the size of your fingernail.
100 gram steak is about 3 ounces, short.
Which is who eats a 100 gram steak?
Anyway,
so you're probably going to eat at least a 200 gram steak.
Yeah.
You know, and that will give you 5 milligrams of iron. So that's, you probably don't want that much extra iron if you're postmenopausal.
Although
there is this thing about, you know, we actually lose a milligram or two of iron just through daily metabolism every day. Without bleeding.
Without bleeding.
So the net effect in someone who's not menstruating is you're going to get an iron surfeit that way, you know, extra iron, you know, which you don't need.
No, I agree. I would still go with the multi no iron formula. I like AlphaBase for that reason.
Do any powdered formulas or effervescent formulas that you like?
You
used to recommend some things like that.
I like Now Liquid, although that I believe they have a version without iron that you could also find available on full
strength. So the problem with those things is they don't taste good.
No, they don't taste good.
And they're
I don't
also
like the sweeteners.
They're less potent as well.
That's true.
Because the strong taste of all those nutrients
and
would
those
make
B
it unpalatable.
They just don't taste good with those B vitamins in there. And it kind of stays with you.
Put it, open up a capsule, put in a little applesauce or something like that?
I would just do the AlphaBase capsules. Put it in something. Little applesauce or something like that, precisely.
Kind of ruins the applesauce, but, you know, but just take it
out. But you're just taking a tablespoon of this stuff.
Right.
Just, you know, a little sugar with your, what's it called?
Well, there are some things that you can take.
I forget.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's a song.
Right. It's a song.
A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
Yes.
That's
Thank
a
you.
Song of music.
Right.
Sound of music. There are some liquid things though that, so you can get liquid,
B12, obviously, sublingual B12. You can get vitamin C powder, which you can add to water.
That's true.
You can get D drops. I think you can get E drops. You can get A drops.
That's true.
You can get zinc liquids called zinc tally or zinc lozenges.
So magnesium powder.
Magnesium powder is delicious. So it's called reacted magnesium.
Yes.
Orthomolecular. Go to our website at drhoffman.com and the drop-down menu will take you to full script. You can order reacted magnesium, which is a professional quality magnesium that doctors prescribe.
And of course, a probiotic can come in.
I put that in my water bottle when I work out.
Yeah.
You know, my bike, and I took a spin class this morning with just precisely that.
Great.
Know? Yeah. And I
restore your energy.
Oh, I was sweating like puddles.
Yeah.
And I went through, you know, almost the very last bit of that bottle within 45 minutes.
Very important.
But it tasted good. It tasted good. It made me want to drink more. And I got my magnesium.
There you go. There you go. Marie, we hope that helps you.
That was a 7 a.m. spin class. I don't make that class that often, but I made it this morning.
Yeah, 7 a.m. is not bad.
Oh, and it was so crowded.
Oh, was it? Oh, it's 7 a.m. Not that early. I'm up at 5:30, so I don't know what everybody's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised.
7 a.m., I'm like, ready to go.
I was kind of surprised. But, you know, generally, a little more mature people, I won't say older people, but like not like the millennials weren't in there that much. Because that's...
They're not up yet.
No.
You know, like high schoolers...
They're hungover.
High school... They're hungover, exactly. High schoolers are supposed to be sleeping later. Mm-hmm. That's the whole controversy of school needs to start later in the morning than at the crack of dawn. Millennials, I don't think they're old enough to come out of that sleep pattern yet.
I did my whole freshman year in college with no classes before noon.
Oh, yeah, that's...
It was a disaster.
Yeah, when I first went to college, I'm like, I'm not going to this 8 a.m. class.
Right.
I'm not registering for that.
Yeah. Sophomore year I cleaned up my act. I got in a more Spartan kind of regimen.
Okay.
Good point at which to pause to allow one of our sponsors to share a message with you. So here goes. Listen up.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. Their web make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions. Layla, what's next?
Okay, we've got an email from Brad. Dear Layla and Dr. Hoffman, thank you for the great podcast. Thank you for listening, Brad. I've been a regular listener for nearly 2 years and have learned so much.
Excellent.
I'm a fit and healthy 48-year-old male. I follow a paleo diet. My question is about magnesium. I have no digestive or sleep issues. If I wanted to supplement simply for optimal health, which one should I take and how much?
Okay. Well, when he says no digestive issue, that implies
he doesn't need additional magnesium.
Right.
Therapeutic.
Right. Magnesium. So that's one thing. The other thing is he doesn't have constipation, where we might recommend a form of magnesium that has a laxative effect, like magnesium citrate. I don't know. I like reactive magnesium.
Reactive magnesium a lot.
Yeah.
Which is a combination of glycinate.
We used to talk a lot about jigsaw magnesium, and for a while it was off full script. It's back on full script now.
Yes.
And that's also very high quality magnesium.
Yeah, I'm glad it's back. We got a lot of phone calls saying, what happened to jigsaw magnesium?
Yeah, well, it's back. And you can get it at, via drhoffman.com. Just register for full script and you can have an account there and order it directly.
I like reactive magnesium. It's the combo of magnesium glycinate, malate, and citrate. Mm-hmm. I think it's a nice overall kind of
and
the full spectrum.
Very cheap magnesium is more it tends to have more of a laxative effect, number That's one, true. And causes more intestinal intolerance.
I think the worst is magnesium oxide. That's the one.
Poorly absorbed, and it's very
laxative.
It's
meant to run through, pretty much, more than anything. Brad has another question.
Oh, okay.
And remember, Brad is 48. He's on a paleo diet. I've heard the deleterious effects of dairy on a person's health. Mm-hmm. Is there an exception to this rule with kefir? Are there benefits? And if so, are they worth the trade-off? And I think what Brad is alluding to is that, you know, we're the only animals on the planet that after we're weaned from breastfeeding, we continue to drink the milk now from another animal. Did I just make you sick? Saying it that way? When you think about it that
way. Well, another way to think about it is like paleo man did not, go out in hunting packs and...
come over here, mammoth lady.
Right, lady mammoth. And could you please, like, turn over, lie down, and, we'll just milk you. We wouldn't have thought of suckling from a wild doe or something like that.
Right.
However, something to be said for dairy is that some people tolerate it.
Yes.
And my biggest concern is the processing of the dairy, which changes the characteristics of the dairy. You know, pasteurization, homogenization.
All of that.
May change the value of dairy. So,
that's true.
You know, is cultured dairy superior? Well, it's you get less lactose.
Yes.
You know.
And you get the probiotics. That would be inherent in the product.
Nonetheless, it is pasteurized prior to the introduction of these live organisms.
Yeah. The biggest controversy with dairy is that all of these growth factors, the insulin-like growth factor.
Right.
Additives. Mother's milk is meant for a growing infant, calf.
You definitely want organic milk.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think it's something where the animals get a lot of feed, and the feed has pesticides and herbicides, and it concentrates in the milk, and you probably really don't want to
Maybe
be consuming
growth
that.
Growth hormones, it's not organic.
I hope they don't use that anymore, but
I hope not.
They used bovine growth hormone. Mm-hmm. But something funny is going on, because I have a friend who is he's a retired veterinarian, and he became a veterinarian because he... thank you.
I said that for our listener. I don't remember his name.
Thank you, grammar Nazi.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's true. It's what else? I also sometimes say hunnit. That's sort of an East Coast thing. And I should say hundred.
Hundred.
Yes. But anyway, coming back to my friend. Mm-hmm. This is like a normal conversation where I get interrupted a lot. my friend who grew up on a dairy farm became a veterinarian, and he's since retired. So he is a big fan of dairy, and he says that when he grew up, there was the average consumption of a cow was, I don't know, he gave me some statistic, and he says now when he goes to modern dairy farms, he says they've quadrupled the production of dairy from a cow. So he's concerned about what have they done to these cows to so amp up the production of milk by these animals.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it is productivity and efficiency, but what is going on?
Yeah.
You know?
Medication.
Maybe. Medication, because
they give antibiotics for cattle, for meat.
He says part of the problem is their milk so much that they get mastitis.
Yeah.
And that's like infection of the udder. Mm-hmm. And so they're treated for that. Mm-hmm. And that is not a great thing to find its way into the milk.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Brad, what you could do instead is have coconut kefir if you're concerned about dairy. There's also water kefir. And I found this out from a patient of ours. Water kefir. She makes it at home herself. It kind of tastes a little like lemonade.
So it's you basically tasting the probiotic.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Pretty much. So
it's like a sour water, a little bit.
Maybe like a lemonade-ish flavor. So that could be something. But
doesn't it need a little sugar though to make it grow?
Sure, any kefir, because you know the bacteria need to eat something.
They need something, because
they eat up the lactose in a milk. They need something.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
So.
How is coconut kefir?
Coconut kefir is pretty good.
I haven't had it.
I haven't had it either. These are reports I hear from people who rave
about coconut kefir. Do you have to make it yourself?
Or? No, not necessarily. You could get a good, pretty good brands at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, all of that. There's enough. And online. I think there's a specific one online. If you don't mind paying a little more for it. And I've even heard from colleagues about this one.
I'll try it. Pretty superior. Because I use a lot of coconut milk and I use a lot of coconut cream.
You don't want to overdo coconut.
Yeah.
You don't want your taste buds to get bored with just coconut either. So you want something maybe a little bit different.
People open up my cabinet and they go, what is this? The Fort Knox of coconut? You know, it's like, there's like a repository of like, 17 cans of coconut milk. And I said, well, I don't want to run out.
It's an emergency. Yeah. It's an emergency if I'm low on eggs and butter.
Yeah, eggs, butter, coconut milk, dark chocolate.
Yeah. When there's a storm coming, everybody's running to get bread and milk. Nope. Eggs, butter.
Right. Cholesterol.
Cholesterol, that's right.
Running low on cholesterol. Oh, my goodness.
Save my brain. Okay. Thank you, Brad, for those questions. We've got another one here, Dr. Hoffman. This is from Fran. I enjoy your podcast. I am a hormone-positive HER2-negative breast cancer survivor.
So let's talk about that.
Yes.
What is that? So now it used to be you had breast cancer. And then they would divide it into, the way it looked under the microscope would define what the type of cancer it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now they actually have molecular precision medicine characterization of the cancers, and it's going to get better and better. There may be, by the time the decade 2030, there'll be 50 categories of breast cancer. Right now, it's hormone positive
mm-hmm.
or hormone negative.
Mm-hmm.
Now they sometimes refer to as double hormone negative. There was no estrogen receptors, no progesterone receptors. Why is that a problem? That's a worse type of cancer because there's no hormone control switch on the cancer.
Yeah.
So when you're hormone positive, that's a good thing because mm-hmm. the cancer can be blocked.
Ah.
Then the HER2 is another category. Which is negative. So if it was positive, it would mean there's another type of medication that can be used for that cancer. This type of cancer is, it's no such thing as a good cancer, but this is the best breast cancer you can have because it is hormone responsive
mm-hmm.
and it's likely to respond to a medication such as, it used to be tamoxifen, now it's what's popular is anastrozole.
Ah, and that's what she's taking.
Right.
So Fran is now suffering from some joint side effects of anastrozole.
What happens, gives you instant menopause, like not a natural menopause, which is slow and gradual. It's like mm-hmm. hitting the brick wall, going, 60 miles an hour and then bam.
She's got arthritis though now in her
joint pain.
Yeah,
because you become desiccated.
I see.
Yeah, and it also mood problems, brain problems, skin problems, joint problems.
Okay.
Bodily aches and pains.
So for many years, Fran
sometimes
says,
intolerable.
It really? Okay. Wow.
But sometimes barely noticeable. Different strokes for different
depends
folks.
Depends on the person. Okay. For many years, she says, I was taking a product called Flexin, which is CM8 with glucosamine, and it helped my joint issues tremendously. But I stopped taking it because the label showed it has 250% of the daily value for copper. And I read somewhere that cancer survivors should not take high doses of copper.
Okay.
What is your take on copper for cancer survivors?
There is, we've talked about this in a previous podcast, is the idea of certain nutrient depletions, and like we talked about B vitamins as being something we don't want to give too much of in cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are certain amino acids that we don't want to pour on because they may act as food for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It actually happens that glutamine is one of them.
Yes,
true. So,
however, it's a little bit of a catch-22 because that same glutamine, mm-hmm. if you're under chemotherapy,
is protective.
Can save you.
Yeah, can protect
from
it. Neuropathy. Yes, yes. So under that circumstance, yes, but then maybe not ongoing afterwards.
Right.
Right. During that narrow window of chemo, it's...
So it's a delicate dance.
Exactly. Leucine is one of them that may, potentially be, and another one is asparagine, whatever that is. I guess there's some of that in
asparagus.
Asparagus
acid?
Asparagine.
No, asparagine is different.
Different, yes. Well, anyway, so when it comes to copper, actually I've seen some literature on sort of innovative ways to treat cancer where they actually chelate the copper out. They use a substance that binds copper to starve the cancer cell of copper.
Huh.
So, does that mean that you can't take copper or that you shouldn't take a supplement that has some copper in it because it's going to make your cancer explode? I don't think it's such a consideration.
What if you add an antagonist like zinc?
Well, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea, actually, because you know what the treatment for copper toxicity is?
Zinc.
They give zinc.
Yeah, it is.
Which
is great because they antagonize.
Yeah.
That's why if you're taking, for example, a zinc supplement for a long period of time, you want to add a little bit of copper, maybe 2 to 3 milligrams if you're taking a 25 or a 50 milligram of
case
zinc.
Report in the New England Journal of Medicine, this woman came in and she had all kinds of problems. They couldn't figure out what the heck was going on with her. And it was one of those like medical mystery tour things. And it's supposed to be a brain teaser for doctors to read so that you go, can you guess this disease?
Yeah. I like
and it's
that.
Kind of fascinating. It just goes on page after page and she couldn't figure it out. And they tested her for every conceivable thing under the sun. And she had these neurological things and, you know, she couldn't walk, she couldn't balance and blah, blah, blah. And her reflexes were all off. And finally, they decided to check her copper levels, and they were negligible. And what she was doing, she had ill-fitting dentures, and she used DentuCream that has a lot of zinc in it. And she was slathering on the DentuCream so that she had massive amounts of zinc that in turn depleted her copper. So what did they do? They gave her some intravenous with copper in it at first, and then they gave her oral copper. And then, boom, she was fixed.
Wow.
It just turned it all around.
That's wonderful.
So zinc depletes copper. But you had a good idea there, is that if you want, you know, just don't take the copper alone. Balance it out with some zinc.
So what do you think of copper pipes for plumbing?
Well,
do you think that might be an overdose?
You tell me, because you're...
Yeah, we looked into it.
your husband is a contractor.
Right.
And you're building a house.
We're building a house.
So what's up with that?
And we did a lot of research, and we decided against the copper pipes.
Right.
And we decided to go...
Do people use copper pipes still?
Some do.
Here's the this interesting thing. Is I have an acquaintance, and so she came over one day to dinner, and she was all upset. It was like, oh, a disaster. So she went to her house. She hadn't been to her house. It was in the Hamptons. And she said, you know, everything is like, everything is destroyed in my house because some people came and they scavenged all the copper pipes.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
They scavenge and
The heating didn't work, whatever.
You said it. Copper pipes on a very cold day, if you've locked up the house and there's water in your pipes, it could... A lot of burst pipes during a very cold winter.
Now, this is the lesser of evils because you're using PVC.
Yeah, well, there's PVC and yet there's another product. I don't remember
Polyvinyl chloride, which is carcinogenic.
That's true too, but this is not that. It's some other thing.
Okay.
So there's the copper, there's the PVC, and there was the third thing. We're going with the third thing. So, and the benefit for any contractor is that it's malleable. It's like
no, the only thing is copper is essential. Copper, you want a little copper.
Yeah. But we don't need to get it from our copper pipes.
What about copper cookware?
It's
a pain. You got to polish.
Oh, that's true.
You have to have
that's a lot of maintenance.
You have to have help.
Yeah.
You have to have like.
I'd rather take a supplement.
Yeah, it's got to be like Downton Abbey. You know, we have a bunch of footmen, you know, like and maids polishing the copper.
Right.
But just take a sup, you know, take and the ratio. Do you know about the ratio?
It's like I know it should be for every maybe 15 milligrams of zinc, maybe 2 milligrams of copper.
Okay, so say you're taking 50 milligrams of zinc, you should take some copper.
Yes.
And what would you take, like?
Four or five, six.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Remember, we're getting that from our food as well.
Now, there's also, I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but there's also a controversy over copper and mental problems. You know, that there's some in orthomolecular psychiatry, people with too much copper and not enough zinc have more mental problems.
Anne Louise Gittleman wrote a book at least a couple of decades ago. I may not remember the title. Why Am I So Tired All the Time, or something like that. And it had to do with too much copper.
Okay.
So that was very
basically the answer was to get rid of the copper, take more zinc.
Take more zinc.
Okay,
take
get the copper zinc out.
Yeah, so that's interesting about the psychiatric.
Yeah.
What is that condition where you could see copper in the eye? Is it Wilson's?
No, Wilson's. Wilson's.
Is it Wilson's? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Wilson's syndrome.
The ceruloplasmin.
Thank you. You get copper rings around your eyes, pupils, and Wilson's disease.
Hmm. Anyway, so Fran, what do you say to Fran? Should she be concerned?
I forgot the question.
Yeah, I know. She stopped taking this product that contained CM8 with glucosamine.
I don't think it matters that much. I mean, I think the answer is, take some additional zinc and don't worry about
it. Take some zinc. And it's only good for
your immunity. And how much was it? How much?
250% of the daily requirements of copper. She's talking about the RDA, and RDAs are quite low.
Low, yeah, I wouldn't probably.
But 250, yes, she could be concerned when you see a percentage.
Maybe 2,500.
Fran, take a little zinc so you can continue taking the supplement
if it
that
provides relief.
So helped you.
Yeah, and be secure in the knowledge that you're blocking the cancer with the anastrozole that unfortunately you'll have to take for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Great round of questions. Thank you very much for listening, and enjoy what's left of the summer and Jewish holidays coming up for some folks, Labor Day and so on. I hope you have an enjoyable end of the season. I'm Dr. Anna Hoffman, today with Leila Mudin. We both thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for my Supplement Starter Kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the Intelligent Medicine lifestyle, and for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.